Today, I speak about the genocidal effects of globalism. As all of us know, the world is getting smaller. Incredible advancements in transportation and communication make it so. Many national corporations that once had minor branches overseas have now become truly international, and their own loyalties have gone beyond their own national origins. Profit is their one flag, their one loyalty. It flies above nation, culture, race, morality, health, concerns over the environment, over anything. These global concentrations of enormous wealth have become a juggernaut, amassing huge power and weight like a snowball turning into an avalanche. Interwoven with their enterprises, the globalists dominate the media, which of course has also become truly international. With it, they control the democracies where the sheeple cannot distinguish between a free press and a controlled one. Many, in fact, labor under the impression that we have a free press here in America. Ha! That's the looniest notion imaginable here in the first fledgling years of the 21st century. Yes, we are free in America to publish a pamphlet or house newspaper, maybe even put a few controversial flyers out on the street, even though in many communities, if the pamphlet is politically incorrect, you are liable to be hassled by the police and the local authorities. Many communities, for instance, have laws that you cannot leave literature at people's doorsteps or put them on automobiles. Of course, you cannot distribute them at shopping centers. That's private property. And the United Colors of Benetton might get angry and might have you arrested if you persist. Of course, leaflets or small circulation newspapers have never really been dangerous to any power structure. Not at least since they were the state-of-the-art communication devices, such as during the time of the American Revolution. Now, if a major media chain, or even a daily newspaper or local TV station, gets out of step, that can be a problem to the globalists. But they have that so well under their control, it's amazing. The newspapers, the news magazines, the TV stations, the networks are so much in lockstep that it's incredible. In many European major cities, the control is not as extensive as in the United States. For instance, in many European cities, and I can give Paris as an example, among the many daily newspapers, one can find more than one that basically sides with the Palestinians rather than the Israelis. And the same is true in Rome. And the same is true in most European cities and capitals. In America, there are none. That's right. Out of over 2,000 dailies, not a single newspaper in America takes more the Palestinian view of the conflict rather than the Israeli view. Oh yes, there are a few papers that will sometimes disagree with the Israeli government on a particular point, just as there are even some Jewish opposition in Israel that will do the same thing. But on the fundamentals, every American paper, Jewish-owned or not, is quite supportive of Israel, no matter what atrocity, what murder and mayhem, or what human rights they blatantly violate. In my last broadcast, I mentioned an article that appeared in Jewish newspapers for Jewish consumption that stated 17 out of the 19 members of the Israeli cabinet supports a law that prohibits Palestinians from buying land in Jewish areas of Israel or even living in apartment buildings with Jews. That's right. You heard me correctly. Now, how would the American press scream if any governor in the United States and his cabinet supported a law to forbid African Americans from living in an all-white apartment building? Of course, Israeli schools are already rigidly segregated between Jews and Palestinians. But where is the outcry in the pro-Israeli media in America? Remember the unanimous outcry and protest in the American press against apartheid in South Africa? For some reason, there's no protest at all in the American press about the apartheid in Israel. Why? Well, why do you think? The horrible injustice to the Palestinians should be so obvious, but I shouldn't have to even mention it. The mainstream press, if it were honest, should do that. But I have to point out to my fellow Americans who have been spoon-fed everything by the Jewish supremacists what should be all too obvious. Israel invaded the West Bank and Gaza 35 years ago. There were almost no Jews living there. Israel put the Palestinian people under a brutal military occupation and denied them all semblance of liberty. Of course, some very brave Palestinians resisted this brutal occupation. America and every country recognize that people have an absolute right to resist foreign military occupation. Over the course of these last 35 years, Israel has killed thousands. Please listen to me closely. Israel has killed thousands of men, women, and children. It has blinded, maimed, crippled, and disfigured tens of thousands, including thousands of children. It has purposely destroyed thousands of homes, businesses, hospitals, schools. It has incarcerated and tortured, and yes, I said tortured, hundreds of thousands of Palestinians. Americans don't even know that torture of Palestinians is legal in Israel. And to top it all off, during this period of destruction and murder and oppression, they have built hundreds of Jewish settlements on the very Palestinian land they occupy. While they destroy Palestinian homes and cities, they bring in Jews from places like New York and Moscow and build homes on the settlements in the midst of the sorely oppressed Palestinians. And this goes on. The media constantly refers to Israel as the only democracy in the Middle East. Well, tell that to the over 2 million Palestinians who have no voice in the control and the brutality exercised over them. Now, don't hold your breath for a huge protest of these human rights violations by the American press. Read my article on press control, and I can prove to you that the vast majority of the American media is controlled by Jewish supremacists. So enough on the so-called free press. The point here must be that the same media that is in lockstep for Israel is also in lockstep for the New World Order and the globalism that it represents. For the last few decades of my life, I've earnestly tried to inform people that those who are the true forces behind globalism are in actuality racial supremacists. But they're not the so-called racial supremacists the media likes to talk about. They're not European, African, or Asian supremacists. They're Jewish supremacists. And these Jewish supremacists have a master plan that should be obvious for anyone to see. They consistently attempt to undermine the culture, racial identity and solidarity, economy, political independence of every nation in the world. But there is one race they don't seek to undermine. There is only one exception in this worldwide plan. There is one nation that is not undermined, and that, my friend, of course, is the Jewish nation. And by that I mean not just Israel, but the Jewish supremacists around the world who preach their own supremacy among themselves and really think that they have some divine right to rule over not only the Palestinian people, but over the rest of the world as well. So let's talk about the inconsistencies of the globalism now dominating the world. First, they say they're for multiculturalism and diversity. But let me again state the obvious. The reasons we have different cultures and different races and different national identities is because we have different nations and languages and races. Building a McDonald's and a Coca-Cola machine on every street corner of the world is not only injurious to the health and the people of the world, it destroys its diversity. It is uniformity. It is unicultural, not multicultural. Supporting massive immigration into Western nations is not multicultural. The nations the immigrants come from offer a truly different cultural environment. Melting them into one brown mass does not create diversity. It eventually destroys the indigenous culture of that particular nation. Even more so, it destroys the unique genetic heritage and character of those people and the unique nations that they created. Is it really a good thing for Germans to be outnumbered by Turks in their own nation? Is it good to remake Germany into a land foreign to its own people? Is it good to make whole sections of America into a replica of Mexico? Should the Russian people in the 21st century become dissolved by a massive influx of Asians? A fate that Russia so diligently avoided for the last 2,000 years? On the opposite hand, do we really want the Third World to be made into economic colonies for the New World Order and the New Globalism? What will this do to them, to their own cultures, their own identity, to the well-being of the world's ecology? Let me get something straight. For all of you who believe what the Jewish supremacists say about me, please wake up. I am not a white supremacist. I certainly believe in the differences between races and nations that are obvious, but I seek no supremacy over anyone. I respect all the peoples and cultures of the world, and I say that every people has the right to preserve their heritage, their culture, and their own political and economic sovereignty. And I also believe in that right for my own people, the European people. I'm not a racist or hateful about it. And I'm not hypocritical about it, because what I want for my own people is the same rights and principles that I support for everyone. I am entirely consistent. The Jewish supremacists are the inconsistent ones, the hypocrites, the true racial supremacists. They and their New World Order seek to destroy every nation, every culture, every heritage, every race but their own. They seek a global supremacy over media, economics, governments. I don't seek supremacy over other nations or races, but I want Europeans and Americans to maintain our own heritage in our own nations. I want our children to grow up in a society where they are safe and comfortable, where they can have a society reflecting their own history and their own nature. I don't want them forbidden to sing a Christmas carol in school because it might offend the increasing numbers of those of different religions. I don't want them to see George Washington's name taken off of their school, as happened in New Orleans recently, because African Americans consider him a racist. I don't want them to face the ugly reality of racial gang violence that so pervades our major cities. I don't want them to face discrimination, even if it's given a nice-sounding name of affirmative action. I don't want my descendants to go to school and discover that they speak the wrong language, English. And I want the standards of Europe and the standards of America to be the standards of my progeny. Finally, I don't want to see the eradication of my people from the earth. Every unique life form has the right to live, and so do we. But immigration, miscegenation, and low birth rates will destroy us as much as any traditional genocide. We must preserve our genes. We must preserve our heritage. We have that right. And we also have that responsibility. The diversity that we must preserve is in the world. It's in nature. The globalists are attempting to make us all listen to the same music, eat the same food, live the same way. They are the enemies of real diversity. They are the enemies of freedom. The bigger the government, the less the freedom. How can people in, say, Zurich decide what's best for people in Kashmir? Real freedom comes from small government, a responsive government where people have contact with their representatives and real voice in government. It does not come from a global one. The most important freedom of all, of course, is the right to live, and to live as our fathers did. We must be able to live in the harmony of our own land and our own culture and our own people. I understand the Jewish people's desire to preserve their genotype and their culture and their religion, and I share that sentiment, and I endorse that human right. The difference between us is that I support that right for the Jewish people, for all people, for my own people. But the Jewish supremacists, on the other hand, seek to destroy every other patriotic movement but their own. They seek, through globalism, to completely destroy the patriotism of every people and every nation but the Israeli nation, the nation that is led by Jewish supremacists. This has been David Duke sharing my latest thoughts.